This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Just 3 years ago, hundreds of women, including experts, researchers, advocates, and formerly incarcerated women, joined together to create the statewide Women's Justice Task Force of Illinois. The task force is unlike anything else in the country. It was brought together by the Women's Justice Institute in Chicago to examine incarceration of women in Illinois and develop a plan aimed at ending it. Since the formation of the task force, they've spent the last couple of years finding the common threads between the experiences of incarcerated women and policies and practices that further contribute to the mass incarceration of women. With years' worth of data and information, the Women's Justice Institute wrote a comprehensive report that serves as a blueprint for how to better serve incarcerated women and reduce the number of women in prison. Joining us today to talk about the report's plan for criminal justice reform is Deanna Benos. She's co-founder of the Women's Justice Institute in Chicago. Deanne, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Also joining us today is Bethany Little. She is the founder of the nonprofit organization Women in Need Recovery in Champaign. Bethany, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me. I really am honored.
Deanne, before we get into the findings of the report, can you just talk a little bit about the statewide Women's Justice Task Force? How is it structured? What were its guiding principles? What is it trying to do?
Thank you for that. Well, it's been a pretty incredible and unprecedented process that took some twists and turns we never imagined. But, you know, across the country, there's been this downward trend over the last decade or so where you've seen lots of news headlines that this national prison population has gone down. But what people missed was that women were obscured in that equation. So in 35 states, for example, where the population went down, the women's population actually went up. And in many states, if there was a decline, women declined at a lower rate than men. And what we know is that women are the smallest justice population, but in Illinois and other places, they've been the fastest growing or the last to decline, okay? And it tends to be a male-dominated system. The staffing structure, the incarcerated population is mostly men. And what we found, and I formerly worked with the corrections department, what I found is that everyone's kind of like, oh, it's just the women. It's a small population. They'll figure it out. And women were kind of getting jammed into the corners and getting substandard access to programs. The treatment was different. It was ineffective. It was based on male models and not even evidence-based research. And what was happening is we were conducting, you know, basically creating a trajectory of harms that were uniquely affecting communities statewide and women, particularly their children. So what we decided to do was we had already done some work partnering with the Department of Corrections and previously the Rauner administration on their efforts to promote decarceration. We created a task force that was entirely women-led, and it was led by women who were leaders in the system. We had judges from all across the state. We had regional co-chairs, Judge Weber in Jefferson County, which had experienced a 300% increase in women's incarceration, Judge Foley in McLean County, and former retired Judge Colleen Sheehan of Cook County, working alongside women who had been incarcerated and were leading change in their communities. And you know, we had prosecutors and the whole gamut of women coming together to say, gender is unique. Women are not more important than men, right? You know, I get that a lot, like, oh, you're saying women are special or more important. Well, everyone's special, right? We want to say that, but women are unique. Their trajectories into the justice system are unique. And research from the Department of Justice has shown that the solutions have to be tailored toward their unique needs. And we had been missing the boat on it. So yeah, that's why we formed a task force to basically look at three things. One was to design a strategy to cut the women's prison population by 50%, we call it 50% plus and beyond. The second was to identify and promote harm reduction strategies for women and children that were entangled in the system already. And the third was to promote well-being and outcomes in impacted communities, because a lot of times we define success by, oh, did she get arrested or did she go to prison? But we're not looking at the bottom line and the underlying issues, such as the fact that 98% of women are survivors of sexual and domestic violence,
sure,
80% are mothers, etc.
Yeah, so and I want to come back to some of these ideas of the narratives. Redefining the narratives is one of the themes of this report. But we need to take a break here in about a minute. Before we do, Bethany, I just want to ask you maybe you can talk just briefly about the timing of the report and the idea of it being released now during the pandemic. There's been a lot of reporting about women being disproportionately affected by the pandemic, certainly economically. Can you talk about this report and how it fits in with what we've all been going through in the past year or so?
Yeah, sure. So we have been working on the report for 3 years. And so the release of the report, the timing actually was at an amazing time. And just because of the COVID and the pandemic, we have a lack of women resources, especially in housing. And so therefore, when COVID hit, it was very difficult to release women, especially when they had nowhere to go. And so the fact that the report was released at the same time that we are working on a statewide expansion of WIN recovery was probably the best timing in the world. And
okay. Well, we're going to continue this conversation. We need to take a break for our member stations. You're listening to The 21st. More to come. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about a recently released report from the Women's Justice Institute about the incarceration of women in Illinois in general, and it serves as a roadmap, a blueprint, if you will, for how to decrease the number of women incarcerated and involved with the justice system in Illinois. We're talking about that with Deanne Benos, who is the co-founder of the Women's Justice Institute, also Bethany Little, founder of the nonprofit organization Women in Need Recovery in Champaign. Listeners, if you or someone you know has been affected by or involved with the criminal justice system in Illinois, you're willing to share your story, we'd love to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. If you have questions about or ideas about the way Illinois could do better to support women involved with the criminal justice system, 800-222-9455 is the number. Bethany, I want to ask you, you founded Women in Need Recovery in Champaign in 2015 while you were in recovery. If you're comfortable talking about it, can you share how your experience in the judicial system shaped the type of services you now provide for women returning from prison or jail?
Yes. Actually, the experience of the judicial system, how it shaped it was the fact that I didn't have services and resources when I was in the judicial system. And that's why when I decided to go to treatment and clean up my life, I decided in 2015 that I wanted to create a program that was way beyond just housing women, that was way beyond just providing food and shelter and the basic necessities. And so in 2018, that's when WIN Recovery, which is known as Women in Need Recovery, first opened their house. We are a replication model of a new way of life, which is the founder of that is Susan Burton in Los Angeles, California. And so we have partnered together in the Safe House Network to be able to build homes that can help women have resources and services that that normally, they wouldn't have. After I went to treatment, I became homeless. Because when I went into treatment, I was homeless. When I came out of treatment, I was homeless. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of places to detox, especially depending on what drug you use. And so if you're not detoxing from alcohol or heroin or opiate, then unfortunately you have to detox pretty much on the streets. And so I detoxed in a dope house where they were actually using drugs at the time. But for the grace of God, I was able to make it to the treatment center, but that the challenge wasn't over just because I stopped using, using drugs. The challenge had just begun, because now I had to live, you know, a life in recovery and face this life moving forward and find the resources and services. And so I just didn't want other women to have to struggle and face the barriers that I faced. And so a lot of that is the reason why When Recovery, you know, was created. One of the things that I do want to say is that sometimes all it takes is one person believing in you. And I had that one person, and which provided me hope to where I was able to go back and finish a degree at the U of I in communications, and then went on and got my master's degree from the U of I in social work. So I think a lot of times we so focus on the men that a lot of times the women kind of get like swept under the rug or kind of in the back scene. Or maybe sometimes individuals don't realize how many women, you know, are affected by the judicial system. And so that's why it, you know, I really just wanted to focus on that. And, yeah.
I want to thank you so much for sharing your story and your experiences. And Deanne, I want to ask you what we just heard about Bethany talking about substance use. And one of the things in the report is that compared to men involved with the justice system, a larger proportion of justice involved women nationally and in Illinois have experienced things like substance use disorders, gender-based violence, engaged in quote-unquote criminal behavior while under the influence. They're more likely to have experienced homelessness, come from neighborhoods that are entrenched in poverty, are more likely to report mental health challenges, and are more likely to be the sole support and caregivers for their families. Can you talk about some of these common threads that you found among women who are involved with the justice system, Deanne?
Sure. And sadly, Bethany is the exception, not the rule, right? What she experienced is very common, but the fact that she was able to, through her resilience, which we always say women are resilient and they shouldn't have to be, right? But because of her resilience and her strength, and she was able to access resources to do what she's doing today, she's the exception, not the rule, and she should be the rule, right? What we found with women is in our state is that, you know, we've sent women to prison over 67,000 times in the last three decades, okay? And over 86% of those times, they have been for nonviolent drug and property crimes. And as we know, many property crimes are typically related to addiction or to poverty, right? And lack of opportunity. And the fact that 80% of women are the single parent of a family. There are caregivers of young children before they're incarcerated and more likely to have been unemployed and seeking ways to care for their family without support before they end up in prison. So you can make that connection. But with regard to drugs, during the last three decades, drug accounted specifically like drug offenses for 37% of all court admissions to women's prisons. And among drug crimes, almost 60% were for simple possession. And right now there's legislation moving through the legislature to look at simple possession to defelonize it. So you're not sending women or men to prison, women disproportionately, of course, for addiction, and you're sending them to treatment, which, you know, is more effective in the long run for women, their children and families. And certainly a lower cost. It's not only more effective and safer for taxpayers at a time when we continually have budget crises, but it's more cost effective and it's safer. We spent over $1.4 billion to incarcerate women and put them on parole at minimum in the last 10 years. So we call our report in many ways the billion-dollar proposition, where we're challenging the legislature and the administration to look at what the next 10 years looks like, right? What does real justice mean? You know, how do we address poverty and structural racism and social issues in a way that's more effective and not, you know, just basically holding the roof up in a crumbling system that's proven ineffective in many ways, where you have 86% of people are there for nonviolent crimes of women. And even those that are in for violent crimes, what we're finding out, as you alluded to earlier, we know that 98% of women that are in the prison today, through a study by the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, have experienced gender-based violence, sexual violence, or other forms of abuse as part of their prison pathway. And then they get to prison, and we have policies and harmful strip search practices that replicate abuse and trigger trauma. Women's mortality rates are higher when they go to prison. Their mental health rates decline exponentially when they're incarcerated. You have 770 women that are at Logan Correctional Center, the state's largest women's prison. Typically, has 770 women of, before the pandemic, it was like 1,500 women. Now it's maybe 1,100 because of the pandemic, the temporary decline. But 770 of them are diagnosed as seriously mentally ill. And that mental illness is not only what has been brought, they've brought with them to prison, and they've been criminalized for, but it's created in this system that's falling apart. So there's many ways that, you know, there's many ways that really we don't believe our justice that land women in prison, but the system itself is not operating for decades. It's not one person's fault, or it's been decades of a problem with structural issues that really need to be reexamined in it from a transformative lens moving forward.
Okay, so let me remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We're talking about ways to reduce the number of incarcerated women in Illinois, or keep them from coming involved in the justice system in the first place. This is tied to a report recently released by the Women's Justice Institute. We're talking with Deanne Benos, who's co-founder of the Institute, and Bethany Little, who is the founder of WIN Recovery, Women in Need Recovery in Champaign. Bethany, obviously we can't, I want to focus on solutions in the time we have remaining. Can't figure out all the how to solve this huge problem in you know, a short conversation on the radio, but maybe you can talk about some of the services in particular that you think might have helped you earlier in life when you were struggling with these issues that were not available that maybe should be available.
So a lot of the resources and services, you know, that we focus on are, of course, we focus on trauma and we focus on recovery. But the biggest thing that I really want to talk about is not so much the services and stuff, but what our housing can do, like what we need. We need more housing across the state of Illinois. We are expanding statewide. Right now, we're in Champaign. We have two houses opening our third in January 2022, and we're moving to Cook County and hoping to open the next three in the next year. But one of the barriers that I have found and struggles that we have found in the state of Illinois is that in Champaign, most of the women that we serve are from the rural areas. And so we need a lot more safe homes and a lot more homes that have resources like peer facilitated trauma groups, parenting, personal financial. We need people that can help individuals get the resources of mental health and the behavioral health. One of the things that we were able to do was we have a partnership with the Housing Authority of Champaign County, where if they complete our program, then they are allowed to get a housing voucher. So they still have some stability when they leave here, as long as they're working full time and as long as they're going school full time. And these are all of the struggles and that I had actually, you know, faced was I didn't have housing. You know, I had to wait until I had the ability to get assistance with housing. You know, I didn't have these things. And so these are, you know, some of the reasons why, you know, we do what we do. Another thing is we're talking about decreasing the population of women that's incarcerated. But one of the things that we found out is as we take women that are being released from prison, we are getting individuals that are facing charges and about to go to prison. And so when we talk about alternative to prison, so WIN Recovery, you know, we use our program as an alternative to prison. And so women come here during pretrial and they get the assistance that they need between our 9 to 12 month program. And normally the outcome, actually 100% of the outcome, is that the women, it prevents the women from going to prison, and they're allowed to continue to carry on with our program. And so it's really important, the alternatives, the decarceration. We have a decarceration project that is funded by the Pritzker Foundation. And so there's a lot of services and resources that we provide that are still are lacking in the community. And when we find resources and services that are continually lacking, we try to incorporate it in our program in some kind of way.
Bethany Little is the founder of WIN Recovery, Women in Need Recovery in Champaign. We've also been speaking with Deanne Benos, who is the co-founder of the Women's Justice Institute. Later today, you can go to our website, 21stshow.org, and see a full copy of their report, which is really a pathway to reducing incarceration of women in Illinois. Deanne Benos and Bethany Little, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st. That is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. I do want to urge you to go to our website, 21stshow.org, where you can subscribe to our podcast. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR One, just about anywhere you can find a podcast. Just search for The 21st. That's The 21st. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.